Hello, welcome to the Reflective Meditation Podcast. We're so glad you're here. In each episode, we offer a short Dharma talk that discusses the Dharma and how it may appear in our daily lives. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. After the talk, you're invited to meditate for 15 minutes or as long as you please. And then, if you wish, we also invite you to journal about anything that came up for you in your meditation.
We're going to talk about a view, have a conversation about a view that everything happens for a reason. So that's the title of our talk. And we're going to look at it from a middle way, from the Eightfold Path. And I'm going to quote Stephen Batchelor to start, and then we'll talk more from there. But he says the middle way adheres to a non-binary logic that is wary of polarization and absolutization. Instead of succumbing to the temptation to divide the world into polar opposites, such as being or not being, gay, straight, non-binary logic gives as much significance to what lies between those poles.
And I went ahead and highlighted the words "as much significance" because I noticed how easy it is to get into a binary view that, oh, it's not the extremes, it's the middle. So we keep getting caught in this. It's like how we were trained or how our minds work, or I'm not even sure what it is, but I noticed that I do keep getting caught in it. So, you know, as much significance, what's in the middle, what's on the extremes.
Right. And there's a lot in between. there's a lot. And we keep going back to that with conditionality. And you know, we do keep going back to our book also, because we have our own understanding of this, and we put a lot of time into thinking about it. And we called these extremes dialectics. Nellie, do you want to read that paragraph, or is that
important? Sure. And this comes, you know, whatever, in the middle towards the end of the book. We were taking the liberty to lift from our own book as much as we want to and however we want to. Okay, so here we're talking about the middle way as a dialectic, a way that comes from exploring the tension or opposition between two interacting forces or elements. I'm going to pause and just with that sentence, because there's actually a lot there. So exploring that our view was that there is a tension or opposition that comes between these two interacting forces or elements, and that is the area of exploration. We can easily see this tension in the example Stephen raised of being or nothingness or gay and straight. There's a lot of tension that exists there.
Well, Nellie, that's, I think, also part of the tension is that we still kind of automatically go back to extremes. Like, so this is a kind of tension we're trying to counter, and actually not just fall into that kind of direction of polarizing. Yeah.
And, you know, one not binary thing that he didn't bring up that seems to be the hot topic these days is man or woman, not something in between. You know, that's where I feel like I'm being stretched at, you know, this time in our history, mm-hmm. in our culture.
Yep.
Should I continue on with from our book?
Yes. Yeah. Why not?
Okay. So we map out in the book 7 different meditative processes. Now these are about meditative processes. If it was about life processes, it'd be a lot more than 7, and view them as dialectic opposites. So, you know, you can reference the book about this. We've talked about it before. We'll talk about it again. But right now we're not talking about the specifics because we want to go back to a specific view. But importantly, we suggest a gentle and more organic way to discover the middle way, rather than knock it over your head. There is no such thing as a man or a woman. It is completely delusional. No, let's explore what's going on around that to engage with dialectic pairs with care and awareness.
And that seems to be the practice that we're teaching every day, day in, day out. It's what we're doing with the groups. It's just putting us into our own, opposites that we have, the contradictions that we have within us, you know, the pull towards one extreme or the other. And to not say you have to change that today, but to explore it, talk about it, bring it forth, such as we're doing.
Right. And the extremes have their value too. They're not, it's not like lower than, but they have their value. So to just be more discerning. But we are back to speaking about a particular view. But before we do that, what is a view according to Stephen Batchelor?
we're studying a document that Stephen, or a retreat that Stephen Batchelor presented on the Eightfold Path and some of his reinterpretation or retranslation of the Eightfold Path. And he talks about a view, and this is pretty standard. This is not a retranslation, but a view is an invisible lens through which you see the world. And the stance you intuitively assume in your encounters with other people. And it's often, like you said, not visible. This right. is something that until we really pause, look at it, it's pointed out, there's some kind of crisis where we can see the kind of view we're operating from. It kind of goes underneath the surface.
Right. And it's just, right. I mean, when you said until there's some kind of crisis, I mean, I was thinking of racialized views, which of course are many and deeply embedded. And I think, yeah, George Floyd gets murdered. There's a crisis, which
the views,
the more subtle views, maybe even if, not the white supremacist views, I don't know how much that changed, but maybe those of us who have more subtle racial biases.
Right, right. And that's why we're talking about this statement as a view, this everything happens for a reason. It's something that is kind of in the culture. You've probably heard that before. Somebody's told you that before, or it's been said in some form or fashion. And it really falls into this kind of view. Has it been examined? Have you really thought about what that means? You know, when it pops up, what happens for you? You know, when it's suddenly said to you, or you find yourself saying it to somebody else.
Right. And how much do you fully believe it, wholeheartedly believe it, or somewhat believe it, or in certain ways believe it at certain times under certain conditions? But what it suggests is that there's really a higher predetermined plan or meaning, behind the occurrences we encounter.
Right. And we're questioning that. And we're also saying at times it does seem that way.
Right.
So this is this kind of, in a view, you often can't take one full position on it. It's going to depend on what else is happening. So I'm just going to talk from my experiences that when my niece died and I was told this, everything happens for a reason, it wasn't really a good time to hear that. It didn't work for me. It actually caused me more angst and suffering and more resentment. And yet I still subscribe to this view at other times. There's times when the view makes more sense.
Right, right. But certainly at that point, it's really undermining of your own experience, right? And your own, and grief in this particular situation. Like, and we're really very careful to not go that way as we speak to each other and ourselves.
Well, Nellie, that just made me think, we are careful with views. And mm-hmm. we do want to go in the direction of holding them more lightly and more flexibly. And there's holes in them, they aren't absolute. But that's a real, I'd say, value that we have in reflective meditation.
And also to know our views and to not expect us to be without them, to be completely free of them. We don't expect that of ourselves or you, but to get to know them more and be more aware of them. That is our path.
Yeah. Are we almost done, or are we going to go through these?
No, I think we could end there, Linda. It's 10 minutes after the hour, and We'll be talking about that this some more. You'll talk about it some more tomorrow. I'll speak about it some more on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Hopefully and you'll think about it.
Hopefully you'll think about it. And we really use this prompt, this discussion, as an invitation to meditate now and to really, if you want to let it go where it will in your meditation sitting, to take some time. And then after your meditation, to have a chance to reflect upon it more.
We now invite you to meditate in a position that's comfortable for you for 15 minutes. This can be longer or shorter. There are no hard and fast rules. After your meditation, try journaling about your experience. Was there anything in your meditation that made you curious? If you'd like to join us daily, we meet daily online between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. US Pacific Time. The link to join us can be found at reflectivemeditation.org/daily online. And if you'd like to support our work, please head to reflectivemeditation.org/daily online to offer a donation. Any donor would be gratefully received. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.